back to the Final Four is not on the schedule. He is Rod. I am Cameron. And Michigan State takes down number 4 Purdue, 68-65 at the Breslin. And Rod, it looked like I was watching a completely different team today.
It
was just unbelievable how the difference in these two games. You know, at one point they're up in the second half by double digits, and then let Purdue get back into it, but got some stops when they needed to, and then Tyson Walker comes up and hits the game winner before all this whatnot bizarre stuff that happened at the very end of that game. I'm not sure what in the world.
Yeah, I look, let's go to the dumbest part first, which was that end sequence. There's two things that were really bad. The first is Malik Hall's decision. Mm-hmm. You don't ever do that. You don't ever, in that situation, throw the ball under your own, the basket you're defending. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't ever do that for exactly this reason. You know, so that was a, and I understand he was trying to get it to his point guard, but that didn't matter so much. It didn't matter at all, in fact. All that you need to happen is somebody on either side to make contact with the inbounded ball and mm-hmm. the game's over. You don't even care if it's Purdue catching it.
Yeah.
Really, as long as you throw it into forecourt. So that was the first thing. So let's not excuse that brain fart.
Yeah.
But that review, I mean, these guys struggled all day long. We keep saying it. It's a constant litany, and I hate to talk about officiating because it's – and I don't think it had anything to do with who won or lost. I don't think that it ultimately kept Purdue closer than they deserved to be in this game. Mm. But they blew that call. I mean, everyone could see when they blew that angle up, Tyson Walker's foot, his left foot, was clearly still in bounds.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, after spending 5 minutes looking at that angle, you can come to a different conclusion. The only thing I can figure is that they decided that there just wasn't conclusive enough evidence, which to me, come on.
Well, wouldn't, yeah. My question with that play is if the call was that they were out of bounds, that the ball was out, and I assume that it was because they thought he was still stepping out of bounds. And then when you go to review it, you would be reviewing whether or not his foot was on the line as he touched the ball. But
no.
Can you go back
in
retrospect on a review and say, well, he went out and then came in?
That's what it was. That's what the call is. That a player, I believe I've got this right, a player making his first touch, the first touch of a ball in play. Kind of, you see this occasionally, more often you see it where a guy's, say, running the baseline.
Uh-huh.
And he goes out of bounds, and they rule that he wasn't forced out. And if he's forced out, it's supposed to be a foul call. But he goes out of bounds and then catches. He's the first, you know, that's his first movement. Somebody else didn't catch the ball first before he did. That's the call. It has to be. It has to be that they ruled Tyson Walker went out of bounds, and therefore he's not eligible to touch the ball first at that point. It would have had to have been somebody else.
Okay.
Only way that call makes sense. And I understand the rule. That would be a correct application of the rule. I think they blew the call.
Yeah, he wasn't out of bounds.
I don't think he was out of bounds, but whatever. So we dispense with that because I don't want to spend – the more important thing here is – Tyson Walker delivering when they absolutely had to have it. And it was an example of what we've been talking about pretty much all year long.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a shot when he wants. And that was an example of it. Now, granted, it was good stuff from MSU that they forced the switch on the pick and roll. So he had Trevion Williams guarding him. Trevion Williams can't stay with Tyson Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But no big man in this league can stay with Tyson Walker. There aren't any Xavier – for all the big man talent in this league, there aren't any Xavier Tillmans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevion Williams certainly cannot stay with Tyson Walker. So Tyson Walker, I saw in the post-game interview, he said, you know, he made his best move. And once he did that, created some space with it, he released, and he knew the shot was going in from the point he released it.
Yep.
And that was it.
And in terms of like what the team needs Tyson Walker to be, you couldn't have possibly ended a game any better than that. That's the guy he needs to be. That's
absolutely.
Just it.
Well, you know, I was on Jack Ebling's show yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I got to get better with tweeting that out in advance to people, because I've been on frequently the last few weeks. And that was a comment that Jack made in the flow of our conversation about Tyson Walker, where I think we're both on the same page. Like, right now, if you're Michigan State, the guy you want with the ball in his hands to make a play in a situation exactly like that, that's what we talked about, would be Tyson Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a very good shooter. We've seen that all year long. But just as importantly, as we also saw in this play, he can create space for himself. He can, in the parlance, get his own shot.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He gets isolated on Williams. He knows with his handle and his quickness, Williams can't really stay with him 22 feet, 21 feet from the basket. He's at kind of at his mercy, and that's exactly what he did. He used his dribble to create enough space to get a fairly good look. I won't say it was totally uncontested, because it wasn't wide open, but he had a lot of room.
Yeah.
Trevion Williams, that was not a strong contest. And that was it. And I'll tell you, I think it was justice. The basketball gods were paying attention in this one, because Michigan State down the stretch had two or three, definitely one from Hall and one from Christie, that should have been in from three, that just wouldn't drop. MSU deserved one in that situation, and they chose the right guy. I'll tell you, you might also say, and we'll never know for sure, but you might say fortune smiled on Michigan State in a different way, that A.J. Hogard had cramps.
Yeah.
And that meant that Tyson Walker had to be in there, had to be that guy. Now, it's possible they would have played both of them in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rule that out at all. I mean, we've been seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a possible way to look at this, is that Michigan State, for all the great things AJ did today, and I thought he played an outstanding game, that is a play that you want for Tyson Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe AJ would have done something different. Maybe he would have gotten to the rim. You know, we'll never know. But I like the way it worked out, because in that circumstance, I think Tyson Walker is the guy that you go to.
Yeah.
This team, where they are right now, I was told make or miss. I was totally comfortable with that.
Yeah. So the defense, really, when you look at Purdue being the number two 3-point shooting team in the country, 1-for-9,
That is the single most important stat of the game. This game was in so many ways a carbon copy of that game I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
In 2018, you know, you had Zach Edey playing the role of Isaac Haas and doing it really, really well. Although I thought MSU did a pretty good job with him, all things considered. I mean, you can do a good job against Zach Edey and still see him hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the facts. I didn't think Michigan State was bad at all against Zach Edey.
No,
I really didn't. I thought they fought him. The game plan was, if anything, it was because I don't think Purdue that day, I'd have to go back and look at the stats. I don't think they were held to one make from three. I mean, it's certainly not. They were definitely held down, but I don't think they were 1-for-9. So
yeah,
that's the story of this game. I mean, I think it's pretty simply put, Michigan State, and we talked about it a lot, Michigan State's ability to limit the damage Purdue did from three was always going to be critical, always. Yep. And then you add in the fact that Michigan State itself went 9-for-20 from three. Well, that's going to offset a whole lot of Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. And that's, you know, it's as simple as that. Why did they win the game? I mean, we're going to talk about other factors, but you can really, I think, look at those two things and feel pretty good that that was the most important part of mm-hmm. what happened.
Yeah.
You know, was that MSU shot the three very well, as I figured they might have a chance to do, because, and again, they missed some other great looks that just wouldn't go. I mean, MSU absolutely could have been plus 50% in this game mm-hmm. with the quality of look they had. I mean, Purdue just, I think Purdue was maybe a little better defensively in some ways than I'd expected them to be, but that was an area of vulnerability that absolutely showed up. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that all year. They give teams good looks and a lot of them, and oftentimes they get burned by it. And that's what happened today. But 1 for 9 from 3, I mean, both parts of that, obviously the one is tremendous, but only 9 attempts.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's not what Purdue wants to do, but they honestly did. I didn't see a single passed up good look.
No,
not one. You could maybe argue if you're a Purdue fan, maybe your argument is we were too intent on going into the post, and especially with Edie, unlike Williams, Edie really doesn't kick it out. Mm-hmm. He's not looking for shooters as much. I mean, you saw that today. He gets the ball on the blocks. He's looking to score. And maybe you could argue, well, what we were running wasn't going to be as conducive to getting enough attempts up as we should have. But, man, in terms of the way the game played out, Purdue didn't have any opportunities they left on the table. They just didn't have the opportunities, and that's a credit to what Michigan State did defensively. I mean, it was just perfect. Mm-hmm. And it brings – after how hard the last 3 weeks or so especially have been in terms of feeling like I no longer had a grasp of this program. I mean, I go back to tons of things, the way they were playing, the lack of energy and effort at times. Izzo's comments after Tyson Walker's explosion against Illinois, all these things that just made me think, what happened? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, this isn't the world I've known. Today was absolutely 100% the world I know. It was MSU playing straight up and saying, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with twos because we're taking away your threes. Mm-hmm. And they did it, and they executed, and hats off, man. They just – I couldn't be prouder of the effort that they put.
Yep. And you look at the starting lineup, a couple shakeups. They started Malik Hall. They started Marble. And Marble – really showed up today. 12 points, 3 rebounds, 5 for 5 from the floor, 2 for 4 from three and or from the free throw line, including some big ones down the stretch. A steal, a couple turnovers, but man, he was fighting Edie.
Yeah, hard. He played very, very hard. And you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the game totals. I don't see anybody on the Michigan State side with more than 3 rebounds.
Mm-mm.
But that doesn't tell the story, I don't think. Now look, Purdue had, let me do the math here. It's still too high of an offensive rebounding rate, but 30.4% is a win for yeah. Michigan State. That's a win.
They were 7th in the country in that. I mean,
so that is a win for this team where they are. That opponent, that is a win.
Yeah,
you know those areas, right? Rebounding and turnovers that we talk about as being so important. You looked at it coming in, and you said, "Wow, forget that Purdue is an offensive juggernaut." But then on top of that, the odds are good. You're not going to get as many chances to score as they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way they offensive rebound and the way that they pretty decently limit turnovers, and certainly by comparison to Michigan State. Well, you could say that Michigan State pretty much played them evenly. I give Purdue a slight advantage because they did have one mm-hmm. on the boards, but it wasn't dramatic. But the turnovers, my God, MSU with 9 and Purdue with, what was it, 16?
16, yeah.
Wow. 5 turnovers for Jaden Ivey. And here's the other thing, too. I want to take a quick look at this. MSU had 16 turnovers. MSU had 4, 5, 6. MSU had 7 steals. That was a game where, for the most part, I felt Purdue's turnover problems were actually a result in large part of the way Michigan State was defending.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not the MSU issue where they're just, you know, completely self-inflicted. You now, again, you could say, well, Jaden Ivey's putting his head down and going into the lane, and of course it's going to be, well, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, Michigan State, with a variety of guys, but I would say a lot, A.J. Hogard, just put up a wall. And Ivey did his damage. I mean, you can't say he played a poor game. He was 5 for 10 from the floor. So what do you have, 10, 11, so 16 points. It's a point or so, a point and a half under his average, but not bad. But I would say, you know, 1 assist, 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's, and the fact that he only got 10 shots. Now, granted, he also shot 7 free throws, but MSU did not let him have an easy game.
Yeah, and there he was dominating the ball a lot this game.
Oh, yeah. Well, as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are times when Purdue got, and Purdue is a really good screening team. They usually are, and they definitely are this year. And there were times where MSU just didn't get where they needed to be in pick and roll coverage, and he was able to get loose and get down the lane for a finish. But you know what was also interesting in this game? If our listeners have watched any decent amount of Purdue this season, one of the most impressive things Ivy does, and it's the thing that really highlights for me why the NBA finds him so attractive and should, is he will, in half-court scenarios, off the dribble, often take it to the rack and dunk on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean off lobs. I mean off the dribble.
Just
get to the
people.
Rim and flush. Yeah. Where you don't even necessarily see it coming. It looks like normal offensive flow, and then he just explodes. I don't think he had a dunk today.
Mm-mm.
Did he? Yeah. So even those finishes were you know, tougher maybe than some of them he typically gets. So, just to me, it was MSU's defensive. You know, when you say MSU played really well defensively, and they did, Purdue still shot plus 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're getting all that action around the rim. But where it mattered, the reason that Purdue is an elite offensive team is they can do everything. And MSU took away the perimeter entirely. Took it away. When you do that, you give yourself a chance. And then, you know, you need to shoot the ball well yourself. Michigan State did that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to not self-implode with an unnecessarily high amount of turnovers. MSU was in single digits. You need to at least compete on the boards. MSU did that. So yeah. They checked all the boxes. And you know, one other point in all of this, I guess, is to say MSU did all of these things so well, and they did, at home, and they won on a 3 with a second and a half to go. That's how good Purdue is.
Yeah.
Offensively. Yeah. That's the capability that Purdue has. But, I keep saying it. I could not be happier. And, you know, I thought about this at the end of the game. Obviously, people who listened to our last couple of podcasts know this, but I mentioned before that I was on Jack Eblin's show yesterday, and the talk was very depressing,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know. And I think what it's and I'm thinking about this in conjunction with last year as well, and other years too, but especially this year and last year because it's been much more pronounced. There's this concept in the stock market that the only point that you can really have growth in the stock market, a real rally after you've had a downturn, there's this term, capitulation,
mm-hmm.
where it means that everybody is selling. Everybody. You can't find a buyer anywhere. And it's only at that point, when it has gotten that bad, there are no optimists left anywhere, that it can turn around. Well, perhaps... Mm-hmm. Perhaps there is a similar dynamic at play. Not that my thoughts or any other fans' thoughts have anything to do with the reality, but it did occur to me, more from a sense of amusement than anything else. But that it is, because I definitely felt I was at a moment of capitulation. I mean, one of the questions Jack asked me was, what's more likely, MSU wins three of the last four or lose all four? And I said, I can't believe I'm saying it, and I hate to say it, but lose all four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we see this.
Yep.
And it's hard to understand, and yet it's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what this kind of effort,
kind of a human nature about. Thing. It...
Well, yeah. What I was going to say, this is what we expect.
Yeah.
From a Tom Izzo team, that you have some bad games. You maybe even have some games where you didn't give the kind of effort, didn't play with the kind of energy that you normally do, and then you rally. But we hadn't. It just kept extending.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, I'm speaking for myself. I was beginning, as I said a little earlier, to think that I no longer have any grasp of what this is about, what the program is about, what this team is about. There have been years where I felt really, really dialed into where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
This is not one of them. But, the other way you can look at it is, well, this was bound to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's Tom Izzo over there. And you know that these kids care, which I never doubted that. But I wondered, do they have enough to get off the mat in this kind of environment against this kind of team and respond? And the answer was yes.
Yeah. Rod, you look at A.J. Hogard, 30 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists to 3 turnovers, a block and a steal.
And those numbers are decent, but I think he played far better than that. And the reason I think he played far better than that, honestly, was the way he defended.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you say Jaden Ivey didn't have a bad game, but 5 turnovers certainly puts a little bit of a chink in the armor. I think it's fair to say Jaden Ivey had a little bit of a subpar game, right?
Yeah.
Overall, when you add in the turnovers. And those turnovers, pretty much all of them. I mean, how many steals did Hogard had? We only credited him with one, but, man, that doesn't
seem like more than that.
Yeah, it really did. I'm wondering if they gave him a block, too. So maybe one of those they called a block. But in any event, I thought A.J. Hogard in the lane, first of all, he didn't let Ivy consistently turn the corner on him. He did sometimes because he's a great player. He's going to get his, but he made it tough. And then when Ivy was trying to get into the lane, and it wasn't all AJ by himself, Robbie Hummel was talking about Michigan State doing a great job of walling up, and they did, but AJ was the man at the point of that. And I thought he was really, really good defensively. He made it tough for Ivy. And then offensively, again, 6 assists. Man, it felt like more than that.
Mm-hmm.
He was
amazing in transition.
Yeah.
He was finding guys.
And we're going to talk about that as a key. MSU, after weeks where it's been MIA, finally found its transition game again. But I would say that much of that, unusually for Michigan State, was a function of the turnovers. And aggressive, plays where Michigan State forced a turnover and used that to get into transition. I mean, that was consistently happening. It wasn't the normal MSU formula where it's defensive rebounding or you're running after a make. They didn't get a lot out of that. They got a lot out of those moments where they stripped somebody or, occasionally like off a block shot maybe. Those types of things. That was more commonly how they did it. But it was a welcome sight. But to go back to AJ, the numbers are not terrible, but I don't think they're as good actually as the way he played.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was even better than those numbers suggest.
Yeah. And then Gabe Brown, 13 points, a rebound, an assist, hit 3 of 5 from 3, a couple free throws. That was a welcome sight.
It was. There's a stat, and I believe it's when Gabe's in double figures, which he easily was. He had 13. That Michigan State's one loss. I think they've lost twice when he's in double digits.
Yeah.
As opposed to when he's not, where they've lost 7 times.
That checks out.
Yeah. It was necessary. And he did, Gabe, I thought, deserves a ton of credit in ways that he doesn't often get credit for. but definitely should today. He and Max Christie were massive in the way they played against Sasha Stefanovic. They both guarded him.
Mm.
And we talked about it in the preview. I remember saying this. You cannot be trailing on Sasha Stefanovic. You can't. Because if you are trailing when he's running through picks, he has such a quick release that he just catches, shoots, and it's off before you had a chance to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State was not trailing all day. And those two guys, I mean, people are going to focus on the offense, and it was a welcome sight from both of them, he and Max. But the way Gabe and Max guarded Sasha Stefanovic, massive. That's the, in my mind, that's the number one reason Purdue only put up 9 threes.
Mm-hmm.
You can boil it down to that as the, as your headline. Is it Sasha Stefanovic?
0 for 3.
They guarded the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and he only got three. None of them were, in my mind, were particularly clean looks, I don't think. And they just didn't, yeah, they just didn't let him get the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many times where I was focused on that, and it's they're right there. They just never let him get that space, because he doesn't, it's not like most guys, he needs very little space.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even give him that.
Yep. Christie, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 for 10, 1 for 3 from 3, and a steal.
I thought he played, yeah, and it's funny because they've been talking about, well, we want to, you know, we've been burning both ends of the wick with Max Christie because of what we ask of him defensively, and we got to get him more rest, and, you know, we're expanding the playing group. And we saw some of that in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
Not today. 35 high-quality minutes. I thought Max really competed again. Him on the defensive end, fantastic what he did against Stefanovic and others too, but that was the one I was really locked in on. And then offensively, I thought he played a very mature game. I don't think he, you know, he's had a tendency lately to at times force some things. And maybe you could say one, or he had a driving hook shot, the half hook that maybe you could say was forced. But I thought he played well offensively. I actually thought he deserved better. He had that 1-3 later in the second half that absolutely deserved to go down and didn't. So he should have had an even better game offensively than he had. But very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. All right, now Malik Hall, he gets to start 24 minutes, only 2 points, 3 rebounds and an assist, but 2 steals.
Yeah, you know, they talked about it, and Hummel said he doesn't understand why. And I think many Michigan State fans are right there with him, why Malik doesn't get more touches. I just think the way this game flowed, for whatever reason, it just was never there for Malik, and you can maybe put some of that on him, maybe some of it on what Michigan State was doing offensively, but it just never flowed in a way that set up for those kind of opportunities. You know, and credit to Purdue. I mean, Gillis was plagued with foul trouble all game long, but he guarded Hall a lot. Mm. And that kid's a good matchup for Malik because he's similarly sized. He's a good athlete, so Malik can't bully him the way he can some people. And then he's not necessarily going to be able to consistently out quick him either, which sometimes is Malik's advantage at the four.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it was that, some of it was Michigan State doing what they do, which is being inconsistent in terms of getting guys shot opportunities. But I, you know, again, Malik deserved that second three he took. He absolutely deserved that. It didn't go down. But I thought, you know, he competed. He was part of the defensive effort for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, overall, I'd say he did his bit. Maybe certainly not his best game, but he did his bit.
And then Tyson, 20 minutes, 8 points, a rebound, 4 assists, 3 for 9 from the floor, 2 for 4 from 3, and a steal.
Yeah, again, better numbers than I think. Or better performance than I think the numbers suggest. I think defensively he was locked in. I mean, they only give him credit for the 1 steal, which led to a layup, his only 2-point basket.
Mm.
But he was something at times out there today. And again, part of, you know, the guys he's guarding frequently are guys like, what did Thompson score? I mean, Thompson didn't, I don't think, scored, did he?
He had
no, he didn't even get a nothing. Shot. So he doesn't get a shot. Hunter did a little damage. He was 3 for 5, but it was off those curls. There was a sequence where he got going off pick and roll, I should say, mm-hmm. where he was able to get down the lane, basically the same play they were scoring with Ivy. But you look at what their backcourt did, not a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And so Tyson was definitely part of that effort. So I thought he played very well defensively. I thought offensively he did some good things too. 4 assists to 1 turnover. So combined, the 2 point guards, 10 assists, 4 turnovers, 2 steals, and a block, you can't be unhappy with 4 rebounds too. You can't be unhappy with that
mm-hmm.
in a big time game. That's strong. And then of course, you know, it should not go without remarking again, the game winner. I mean, just really simple. Run a pick and roll, get a switch. Go take him. Ball game. You know, and that's what he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
And I think what we should learn here, and what I hope is getting through to him, is we take the last couple of weeks together, you know, take that Illinois game, and now take this one. It's not only that he's able to do this, it's that he's able to do it in big moments. He's able to do it under pressure. Now, that Illinois game, Michigan State was at a point where basically they had to score every possession
mm-hmm.
to give themselves a chance. And they essentially did because he did it. That's pressure. That's real pressure. This one, tie game. You're looking to win it. That's pressure. And he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got to, and that doesn't necessarily mean that I think he is their best player, because he hasn't done enough, certainly, to show that. But I think there's a really good argument that at the end of the day, for this team to be at its best, he's their most important.
Mm-hmm.
He's
their best option on offense.
Certainly
if you
on
had
offense.
To just pick one thing to yep. do that wasn't like it's, a team-oriented play.
Right, right. And that's taking nothing away from anybody else, but I think that's pretty close to fact at this point. And so, again, I hope that – and I look at this, you know, 9 shots from the floor is not terrible. I mean, I'd like to see a little more, but as long as he's up around double digits, you can accept that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I thought he was assertive enough today, but, wow, just to deliver in that moment, that's got to do – that combined with the Illinois game a week ago, it just has to produce – I would think a massive bump in confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, look what it did for Joey Hauser when he got that game winner. Ever since then, it seems like Joey's really played a lot better.
Well, look at you bring him up, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, he also had 8 points, but 2 of 3 from three. He hit that one that was a bailout.
Deep bailout. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Joey played a nice game. Nothing spectacular, but a nice game, and importantly, played a nice game when they moved him out of the starting lineup. I think the concern all along had been between he and Hall, we don't know that Joey will respond as well, will feel as comfortable, play his best if he's coming off the bench. And that shouldn't be taken to mean Joey is some kind of prima donna. I don't think that was ever the case.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just looked psychologically at what they thought they knew about those guys. And today suggests that Joey can handle it.
Because
he was really, you know, nothing spectacular, but that's a really nice contribution. I mean, 8 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, no turnovers, you know, credible defense all day. I mean, Purdue got basically nothing from the guys that he was guarding. I mean, let me look. Gillis didn't score, and First had 1 bucket. I think he got one on a lob, if I remember correctly. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd definitely be happy with Joey's production.
And then Bingham, 13 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, a steal.
Yeah, but had an impact in a certain stretch of the game in particular where there were 2 straight possessions
mm-hmm.
where he just took care of Edie, which nobody else was going to be capable of doing. You know,
yeah.
He's the only guy on the roster that really can do that. But I thought defensively he battled, he played hard, and at times it was looking a little more like what he was providing for the first, 60% of this season mm-hmm. on the defensive end. Only the one bucket, it was a spectacular one.
Oh, that's right. That was awesome.
The lob, yeah. But, he did his part, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that's exactly what you want more out of Marcus. You clearly want more than that out of Marcus. But I think given the opponent, given the challenges this one posed, all of that, I'm happy with what he contributed. He did mm-hmm. find ways defensively to help in this game.
Yeah. And then Mati Sissoko, 4 minutes, a point, 2 rebounds. But man, some energy and athleticism, freak athleticism finally.
Best game he's played this year.
Yeah.
Which is funny to say about a 1.2 rebound effort in 4 minutes, but it was. Mm-hmm. It was the best game he's played this year. And I think that those are the kind of moments. And he's had, that's the thing, anybody, and there are a lot of people out there who want to go this route declaring him a bust. There have been enough flashes at both ends, because offensively there have been times he's shown a hook shot that you see him hit it and you think, well, that's there.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to go to that more. There's still enough there that it's way too early to bury this guy and say he can't be an important part of the program going forward.
Yeah.
And I thought the few minutes he gave them today were down the stretch of the first half were huge, because, that's a segment that, what you're trying to do is you're trying to go into halftime with the lead. Now, mm-hmm. Purdue did make a push when he was out there, but it wasn't dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And they still held the lead down. That's all you're asking for. And like you say, that one play on the offensive rebound where he got fouled, that was just a moment that just jolted that crowd and jolted that team. And so that's what you hope for guys like that, that mm-hmm. come in, provide some energy, provide some hustle. Happy with him.
Yep. And then Akins, 4 minutes, 2 assists.
Yeah, maybe a little bit surprising to me, but I think – I'd be curious to know the rationale, because on paper you would say, well, Jaden Akins is a really good defensive player, and you need to have fresh bodies to be able to stay on these guys, like we talked about with Stefanovic, consistently be there on the catch. Don't let Hunter get loose. Don't let Thompson get loose. Hmm. All of those things, deny any dribble, help with, dribble penetration against Ivy. There must have been something. Well, part of it was probably the way that Christie and Brown were playing, but I'm a little bit surprised Jaden didn't get more than the 5 minutes, because on paper you would have expected me considerably more. But he was okay when he was in there. As you said, he had the 2 assists, did have 1 turnover, but, no major problems. They just obviously liked the tighter rotation today, and that's what they went with.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Marble in detail? I don't think we did offensively. We talked
about
him.
Not really. We touched on him a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about him, because he got the start as well.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, even if you weren't trying to shake things up, you could say that the way he's been playing, it was certainly merited. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Bingham's been horrible, but I think Marble's been better lately. And it would be a decent thought to reward him for that. But once again, Julius Marble played very, very well. I mean, defensively, when he was in there against Edie, Michigan State suffered, because he's just not big enough. Markky at least gives you a chance with his length to disrupt him, and we saw that. A lot of what Edie got came against Marble. They tried, I think, to mix and match and try to match up Marble more consistently on Trevion Williams, where he's got a better chance. But they weren't always successful in doing that. And so I think it was not a great game defensively from Julius, but I thought he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, you know, it's the same thing we've been seeing. 5 for 5, you know, and he did it in a variety of ways. Yeah, there were times where he just, you know, slipped a screen or whatever and was open. You know, Purdue got lost and he was open under the rim. He had that one fantastic play that Hogard made off a pick and roll in mm-hmm. the middle of the lane where he found him for a dunk. Was fantastic vision on AJ's part. But, you know, Julius also took it to them.
Yeah.
At times, you know, and that's something that's never been, he hit a 17-foot jumper. I mean, that's never been in question. We've said that for the last, especially the last 2 years running. Julius Marble offensively is a solid, good Big Ten big man.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy that if he was playing, what did he play today? He played 23 minutes today. If Julius Marble consistently was a 30-minute-a-night guy, which he might be in other programs, I would venture a guess he could get you, I wouldn't be surprised if he could average, you know, at least 12, 13 a game.
Mm-hmm.
For a program that would play him that much. But Michigan State won't for a couple of reasons. One, because they want to keep bodies fresh. And two, because of the defensive and rebounding issues that have sometimes limited his minutes. But that has faded a little bit as he's done a better job. Even though he wasn't great defensively and on the glass tonight, I thought he competed. I don't fault him. This is a very this is the toughest matchup you have physically with Edie. There's nobody for all that Coburn and Dickinson and all the rest give you. This guy is, as we talked about in the preview, he's a freak.
Yeah.
So a 6'8" guy, no chance. You know. So I don't hold that against him. Offensively, Julius was dialed in, and the thing about the lineup switch is, although neither Julius nor Malik were huge, I think Malik had a bucket early, actually, but neither of them were hugely impactful from the start, but it worked. Michigan State was in the game from the start. They didn't go through that lull in the beginning where they get down, and then there, as we've seen a lot lately, and it just gets away from them. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. So you'd say the new lineup is 1-for-1, even though there wasn't a lot of direct causation necessarily. That's the way it worked out. So I suspect we're going to see the same thing on Tuesday night in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, yeah. So, man, a lot of check marks on this keys, Rod. The first one, guard the arc. A+.
Triple checks.
Mm-hmm.
That was as good a job of executing the defensive game plan. And Izzo said it at halftime. You know, they asked him about Edie, and he said, well, because, you know, as usual, the ESPN people aren't the sharpest tools in the drawer. It was Myron Metcalf, who I've never been particularly impressed with. But, you know, where your first question is, what do you do about Zach Edie? And Izzo's response is, well, we're doing it. The game plan is we want to limit threes. We want to limit threes. And they were 1-for-6 from three in the first half and then 0-for-3 in the second.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it. That was the game plan. That's what you have to do against Purdue. And this proves, and you've still got to do a lot of other things well to beat that team. Purdue can have a game like this and beat a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they showed that. So it's not that it's necessary but not sufficient is the way I would describe it. If you don't hold Purdue down from three, it's pretty much over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will get some production from those big guys. It's a given. It will happen at some point. So that means they're getting both things, and then you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, triple checks, A+, however you want to put it. Maybe one of the best efforts in that respect. I want to go back and see, just since we're talking about it, bear with me a second. I'm going back to the archives here and going back to that 2017-2018 season, and I want to see what the stats were in that. Now, you know what's interesting? You know what the final score of that game was?
What?
I didn't realize this till just now. 68-65. And Michigan State won it, if you remember, on a Miles Bridges three.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we got a lot of parallels. A lot of them. Pulling this up to see if I can get the stats here, because I want to see what. Yeah, Miles hit his with 2.7 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the recap right now. So Purdue in that game, Purdue in that game was 6 for 19. So around 30%, which was a really good job,
mm-hmm.
but not on par with today. I mean, today was something else. Now, interestingly, in that game, Isaac Haas had 25 points. And what did he score? Was he at 25?
I think he was 20. Oh, I lost my thing here.
Yep, he was at 25. So
wow.
The parallels are freakish. Except, again, in that game, you know, 6 for 19 absolutely felt like a huge victory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back and look to be certain, but I think that Purdue team might have shot even better from three than this group does. Let me just quickly take a look. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah.
But I just want to – yeah, that Purdue team – finished the year shooting 42% from three.
Holy.
They were the number two team in the country. So that's why 6 for 19 felt like a victory, because it was.
Mm.
You held them about 12 points under their seasonal average, and you limited the attempts and makes enough to win the ball game. But again, still not on par with the job that this team did today. 1 for 9. And that's, you just can't do it any better. Mm-hmm. You can't play it any better.
And then transition.
Yeah, well, again, another huge success when there wasn't a lot of reason to have faith in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if we've got the the team
the
stats.
Scores,
we have. I'm looking at this. MSU wins points off turnover 16 to 11. They win fast break points 19 to 2.
Wow.
It's another very big factor in this game. And again, I would venture a guess that the vast majority of those 16 points off turnovers were also transition points.
Mm-hmm.
Those were fast break points, because Michigan State did a lot of that, far more than we normally see, where they were forcing steals and turning them into transition opportunities. It was not a conventional Michigan State break today, but man, any way you can get it,
mm-hmm.
right? So huge deal,
yep.
Huge deal.
And then defensive rebounding.
You know, I would say okay. You know, you're never at a place like Michigan State, you shouldn't be doing cartwheels over giving up a 30.4% offensive rebounding rate.
Mm-hmm.
But given the circumstances, given where this team has been, given the opponent, I think you have to treat that as at least okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
certainly a progress, at least.
Yes. Yes. And some of it was just bad. You know, some of it is that you're competing against a team that really competes hard and is a very good offensive rebounding group themselves. And so that's, you know, it's not always all about you, mm-hmm. which is the trap that sometimes fans fall into. And what I mean specifically by this is there were a lot of plays in this game that were contested rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got two guys going up for it in traffic, and it happens to go off Michigan State. Well, that goes down as a negative for you. You didn't get a defensive rebound. But I'm not as upset about that as I am about the easy ones that opponents are getting that they put right back in,
mm-hmm.
or that they end up kicking out for a three. I think Purdue, if I remember correctly, Purdue's only made three, came off an offensive rebound. As I'm thinking back in that game, I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
Yeah. I think you're right. Ivy.
Ivy, right. But I'm not terribly dissatisfied with what MSU did there, because, look, you had Purdue shoot 52% from the floor. If you gave up, you know, another 3-4 shots, I mean, let's keep it reasonable. Let's say they got 11 offensive rebounds instead of 7.
Mm-hmm.
You probably lose this game.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I think MSU was okay there. I liked the fight.
Mm-hmm. And then the fourth key was shakeup in regards to the lineup and playing time, rotations, et cetera.
You know, it's funny, because I think when people heard that, and especially given what we saw in Iowa City, I think most people's thoughts, and I'll admit, I didn't have any idea what was going to happen. Would it have surprised me if Izzo would have said, I'm going to go with young guys who have at least shown a more consistent effort level and give them more of a chance, you know, that maybe you would see more Pierre Brooks. We didn't even see him at all today. We saw Jaden Akins for 5 minutes. Instead, he went heavy minutes with Christie and Brown. You know, the rest of those guys were playing pretty much the same kind of roles they normally do. You know, I don't think any of the minutes for the big men or for the point guards were way out of whack. But maybe a little more Hogard. What did Hogard play? He had a...
Hogard was...
Oh, he had 30 minutes. 30. That is a little... But that also feeds in... So basically what happened is the wing minutes, if you want to put it that way, got handled by the two starters and then A.J. Hogard or Tyson Walker, whichever way you want to go.
Because Walker had 20 minutes, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like it came out of him.
Right. So that, and they played together a lot. So I think the shakeup wasn't as dramatic as maybe people thought. Izzo, once again, there's a reason the guy's in the Hall of Fame. There's a reason he just tied Bob Knight for the most wins by any coach at one Big Ten school with this victory, which I think got lost a little bit in, you know, the slide they've had the last couple of weeks. And then, you know, just the drama of winning this game. It's a pretty big milestone. But, you know, he was right. He found a way to tap into these guys and get them to play again with energy and effort and focus and heart and toughness and all those things that are, you know, people think are intangible, but that really, really matter. And if you don't think they matter, you didn't watch this game, because that's a big part of what you saw.
And then the crowd was the fifth key.
And look, I think the biggest factor is that Michigan State gave them reasons to get excited early. Right? If they get off to another start like they had against Illinois or some of these road starts, it's hard for a crowd to get energized. And I wondered about that. I wondered, does this crowd, because there have been times at Breslin when Michigan State's gotten off to rough starts and the crowd has brought them back. That's been a big part of why it is such a great environment. But I thought MSU did its part with a solid start, and then the crowd did their part, kept giving them energy to feed off of, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we had five checks.
Yeah, that's first time in a while, I think, for that.
Sure.
And if even if turnovers had been on there, that'd been a check, too.
Absolutely. To have a plus seven, who saw that coming?
Mm-hmm.
And only commit nine? And by the way, not many down the stretch. I want to say they had nine early in the second half. I can't think of a lot of turnovers that came after that.
No,
which
not
has
really.
not been an uncommon phenomenon for this team. It's just that oftentimes they've had 15 in the first 30 minutes, you know. But yeah, you're right. That was an area, and honestly, the turnovers have not been an issue for a while now.
Yeah,
they have. They have very, 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 very little to do with why Michigan State has been in the funk that it's been in. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. The reasons they've struggled are the things that we've been talking about and harping on: the defensive rebounding, the lack of energy, the lack of purpose, which shows up offensively too, in terms of the quality of shot you're getting. Those are the things that have really, and defense at times, those are the things that have been the problem. It hasn't been turnovers, but I am always ready to welcome a single-digit turnover game.
Okay, well, next up is Michigan, the rescheduled game, 8:30 on Tuesday.
It's kind of
a quick turnaround, and then they're going to turn right around and play Ohio State on Thursday.
Yeah, they're up in it, but, you know, I don't like this. I didn't like it when the conference announced this is what they were going to do, but we're here. They got to play it, and right now you've got a Michigan team that is very much fighting for its NCAA tournament life. I think you never say never, but I think Michigan State probably took a tournament bid issue off the table today.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 10 wins in the league. They weren't in bad shape in any of the metrics anyway, not bad enough to where you're seriously talking about bubbles. You know, they were still, most of the mocks that are out there for whatever credence you give them, which shouldn't be a ton.
They're still like six or seven.
They're still a seven. Yeah. So I don't think there's much to worry about for Michigan State. But that's one thing. You want to be playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make the most of your opportunities in March. And so that's what's really at stake for Michigan State. But Michigan, on the other hand, does Michigan play Illinois tomorrow?
Let's see. Yeah, Illinois tomorrow. Okay, and
it's at Chrysler though. So that's a big game for them. That's a big game for Illinois. Illinois certainly has to be, if they needed rejuvenation, have to be rejuvenated by what happened in East Lansing today.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it puts them firmly back in the mix.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a big game for Michigan. If Michigan can't get that, especially if they can't get it, then the game against Michigan State is mighty, mighty, mighty big.
Yeah.
For them. Because they are on the bubble still. I mean, they've done themselves a world of good lately. And they put themselves right now, today, you would definitely say they're on the right side of it. But they are not clear of issues if they can't win games down the stretch. Now, their first game without Howard, they responded very well. But, you know, it was Rutgers on the road. Rutgers on the road is not the same team as Rutgers at the rack. Mm-hmm. They're just not. So that's an important win. You know, it matters. And they also played without Diabate and Williams. So give them credit. Yeah. They did the job. But it gets tougher. These next two for them are where the test comes, you know, and there, of course, there's a lot of joking around that, oh, they're better off because Phil Martelli is complete control now. I think Phil Martelli was a really good coach at St. Joseph's, but I don't know that I believe that that's the case. I think these things are always disruptive,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because it's not like Phil Martelli's just walking out there on the sidelines. I mean, he's running the practices, everything. Howard's right. completely out of the scenario.
And I think Juwan Howard, I would expect, not being on the inside of that program, I can't tell for sure, but I've thought that the, you know, Juwan Howard is just sitting back with a clipboard and letting Phil Martelli coach his team stuff was always fantasy. Juwan Howard seems to be, for better or for worse, really, really, really engaged
mm-hmm.
in running his program. I don't think he's let Phil Martelli run it for him. I think Phil Martelli's been a voice of experience and certainly has been able to help him with certain things, but it's Juwan Howard's program.
Yeah.
And so, you know, losing that voice, he hadn't been in practice. He's not on the sidelines, you know, none of that, that matters. So this is a real test for Michigan at a point where they need wins.
Mm-hmm.
They still have work to do to sew up a tournament bid. And so that's going to make Tuesday night, you know, a big game. It's mm-hmm. always big anyway, but the stakes are really, really high now. I think both teams, Michigan State, I can say I think they're in now, but I don't think Tom Izzo thinks that way. And so they're still playing for that, but more importantly, they're playing to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of all that, they're playing to sweep their rival.
Yeah.
You know? And then you add in what Michigan's got on top of the rivalry. It should be a live game.
Mm-hmm.
It should be one where you would expect a lot of competition, a lot of hard play, a lot of high effort. It certainly should be.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. But you have to be at least a little more optimistic about Michigan State's chances in that one now.
Yeah.
After seeing this, even though it's on the road.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts? I mean, this has to be, all things considered, the biggest win of the year so far.
Because of the caliber of opponent. I mean, you know, I think that's the case. You know, we were saying Purdue was still in the mix for a one seed potentially.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very tough for them now. But you know, they're definitely going to be a two or a three at worst, depending upon what happens the rest of the way. So that's, even though it's at home, that's as we've seen, home court is no lock
mm-hmm.
for MSU. You know, they couldn't get it done against Illinois. Obviously lost a game against Northwestern at home as well. So, you know, this this mattered. It was clearly the biggest win of the year. And it's, and the, maybe the most important thing is there's no good reason for this team to not feel confident in themselves now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were faced with a very, very big challenge. And they stepped up and delivered. And on top of everything, that they executed a defensive game plan that well. Just there's no reason in the world to not feel like you can go out there against anybody and compete.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Just so it doesn't go unsaid, I mean, this basketball game's fairly insignificant compared to the other events in the world. But we'll take the good news as we can get it.
Right. It gives you 2 or 3 hours to not think about all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get the preview up for Michigan here probably tomorrow night. And until then, the Final Four is not on the schedule.